We celebrate today the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, the Great Fast, also known as the Sunday of St. John Climacus, St. John of the Ladder. He is a saint early enough that he is recognized by all of the apostolic churches. He lived around 550 to 650. He was a monk and then eventually abbot of St. Catherine's Monastery in the Sinai Peninsula, that ancient and great monastery that is still there today, thank God. How appropriate then that we heard in the epistle from the letter to the Hebrews about Christ, his ascension into the Holy of Holies of heaven, and how appropriate that we heard in the gospel about this problem of this demon-possessed boy and Jesus' exhortation to his disciples that this kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. In the gospel, we heard about this problem. The apostles had encountered a boy, the father brought the boy to the disciples, and they could not cast him out. So Jesus casts out the demon out of this boy. And the disciples wonder, why, Jesus, could we not cast this one out? We've done this before. You gave us this power. And this one was very difficult. And he says, this kind requires prayer and fasting on your part. The disciples were not yet up to that level of exorcism. They needed to pray and they needed to fast. We've spoken already a lot about fasting up to this point, since it is the Great Fast, and so it is appropriate again today to talk about prayer a bit more, since St. John Climacus is famous for his writings on prayer. This reading, the Epistle and the Gospel, of course, are chosen also for that greater historical nature of the lectionary. We know that these readings are preparing the catechumens for their eventual baptism on Pascha, and they are exercised, and they pray, and they fast, all in preparation for this great event. More on that later. But how does this apply to us in our lives today? St. John Climacus says this. Here are a few quotes from him on the importance of prayer. St. John Climacus says, "Let us charge into the good fight with joy and love, without being afraid of our enemies, though unseen themselves. They can look at the face of our soul, and if they see it altered by fear, they take up arms against us all the more fiercely." St. John Climacus speaks here about the problem that we heard in the gospel, about demonic presence in the world, and tragically sometimes, demonic infestation into individuals who delve into the things inappropriate. "Let us charge into the good fight," he says, "us Christians, with joy and love, without being afraid of our enemies, the demonic powers around us. Though unseen themselves, so we cannot see them, they can look," they see us, "they can look at the face of our soul. And if they see it altered by fear, they take up arms against us all the more fiercely. For the cunning creatures have observed that we are scared. So let us take up arms," that is our prayer, "courageously. No one will fight with a confident fighter." He also says, "Do not be surprised that you fall every day. do not give up, but stand your ground courageously. When you fall, he says, get up. And assuredly, the angel who guards you will honor your endurance. And so St. John Climacus, he has many more important and beautiful quotes on prayer. Of course, you know he's called St. John of the Ladder because he wrote that beautiful work called The Ladder, the ladder of divine ascent. So he encourages us to be courageous in our prayer, confident in our prayer. Are we confident in our prayer? Do we often give up? Or do we think maybe there is no reason to pray? God doesn't hear me. Where is Jesus? We heard in the epistle that he has ascended to the Father. He has entered into the Holy Holies, the Holy of Holies of heaven. Paul, in his epistle to the Hebrews, is speaking about the temple in heaven. This is a mystery. God's dwelling. Right? And the temple on earth that was built by Moses, the tabernacle, and then the temple by Solomon, were built according to the pattern that had been revealed to them in heaven. That is, the earthly temple was intended to be in some way a hint at the beauty and glory of God's dwelling place. And so St. Paul talks about Jesus having ascended from this earth back to the Father and having entered into the Holy of Holies. You have some sense of that because of the structure of our Byzantine church. You know there is the iconostasis, and you have these two parts to the building. This is as you have in the temple in Jerusalem that Solomon had built. There were two parts. So the sanctuary Moses had built, there were two parts, the holy place and then the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was only to be entered into once a year by the great high priest of the line of Aaron, at which time he would pray for Israel for the forgiveness of their sins on the day Yom Kippur, the day of cleansing. St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Hebrews, we have a much greater high priest than that. Not of the line of Aaron, but of the line of Judah. He is the Christ. He is the King of Jerusalem, and therefore he has inherited the throne of the ancient King of Jerusalem, Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, who offered up bread and wine. And so therefore, our high priest has received the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. But he says something I think that is very important for us today, even more important than that, regarding this theme of prayer. He says at the end of the reading today, he says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. So this is something that we have confidence in. A hope. Now, whenever St. Paul talks about hope, he's talking about our future bodily resurrection. A hope that enters into the inner shrine behind the curtain. How does our hope? Hope is something you may have in your heart, you think. Hope is something, I hope for this, I hope for that. St. Paul doesn't mean that kind of hope, earthly hope. St. Paul means the hope which is Jesus Christ. Jesus' resurrected body is our future hope. We await a future bodily resurrection. Not just like Jesus, but as Jesus. And that is the key to what he is saying here. He says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. A hope that enters into the inner shrine behind the curtain. Jesus has already entered. Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner, that's one in front of us, leading the way, on our behalf. having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus has entered into the Holy of Holies. He's returned to the Father. You say, well, that's nice for Jesus. What about me? What does that mean for me? You remember when the disciples were saddened when Jesus says, I must go away. And I see you are sad, but I tell you, I assure you, this is for your own good that I go. Why? Why does he say that? Two very important reasons. First of all, he sends down the Holy Spirit. Just as Moses went up on the mountain after the first Passover, just after the first Passover out of Egypt, they came to Mount Sinai, and 50 days later, Moses, the mediator of the first covenant, went up the mountain to bring down the law and the description of how God would dwell among his people. So Jesus, after the first Passover of the new covenant, 50 days later, at the new Pentecost, ascends not Mount Sinai, but to the heavenly place, to send down upon us the Holy Spirit, that we might receive the law, the Word of God, not on stone tablets, but rather in the tablets of our heart, in our own flesh. This is the fulfillment of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 and following. Jeremiah said, in the new covenant that I give you, O Israel, it will not be like the old. Behold, I give you a new covenant, not like the old, which your fathers broke at Mount Sinai. In this new covenant, I will write my words in your flesh. And that is the key that unlocks the mystery of what St. Paul is speaking of here. This is the key which unlocks the mystery of why Jesus said, I tell you, it is to your benefit that I go away. Because when he goes up, he sends down the Holy Spirit so that Jesus, the Word of God, would no longer be exterior to the disciples, but rather interior. Jesus' Word, the Word of God, would be planted in their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not on stone tablets, where a man might say to another man of Israel, behold the law of God, obey it, but rather every man will know it in his heart. In his heart. How is that possible? Because through the power of our baptism, our chrismation, and having received the body and blood of Jesus, we have become one body with him. We have become, as St. Paul says, in numerous places, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 5, Colossians, that we could go on, that we are the members of the body of Christ. And he really meant that. We say that. You know, it's nice theology, Father. That's nice. Members of the body of Christ. That sounds so nice. He really meant it. We have become, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, we have been baptized into Christ and have therefore died with him, been buried with him, and raised with him in newness of life. We have, as he says in Galatians 3:27, we put on Christ like a garment. All of you who have been baptized into him. We have become members of Christ's body. And why that is so important is Christ's body is not only here, right now, as you look at the person sitting next to you in the pew, but Christ's body has already ascended into the heavenly abode. Christ is standing right now with his physical body in the heavenly abode, in the Holy of Holies of heaven, standing before the throne of mercy, interceding for us as the great high priest before not the glory cloud that Moses saw on earth, but the full manifestation of his heavenly Father. Jesus has entered into the Holy of Holies of heaven and stands before his eternal Father and ours, with a human body interceding for us. Something Aaron could never have done in the Holy of Holies of heaven. Now remember, we are members of his body. And so therefore, St. Paul tells us we should be confident in our prayer, as St. Climacus, John Climacus says. Courageous. Why? Because St. John Climacus was saying the exact same thing St. Paul was saying, preaching the apostolic gospel. Look what he says. He says, if Jesus has entered into the Holy of Holies and now stands before the throne of God with our body and His, then let us, St. Paul says, this is in chapter 4, verse 16 of Hebrews, let us then with confidence draw near. Now who drew near? Jesus drew near. And he says, so therefore let us draw near, because we are standing right now as members of the body of Christ in the Holy of Holies of heaven before the throne of mercy as a member of Christ's body. Let us then with confidence, the same words we heard from St. John Climacus, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, to the very throne of heaven, the throne of our eternal Father, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I think that last part we can all certainly relate to. How often are we in time of need? How often do we need mercy, if not many times a day? And so I encourage you now in this fourth Sunday of Great Lent, you have increased your prayer, you have increased your fasting, you have increased your almsgiving, and now just as we had encouragement with the Sunday of the Holy Cross last Sunday, we now have encouragement again as we draw to the end of the Great Fast to remain confident and courageous in our prayer, knowing through whose mouth we pray to our eternal Father, that is the mouth of Jesus, as being members of His body. This is a great mystery. And let us glorify Jesus Christ with His eternal Father, His all-holy good and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and into ages of ages. Amen.